Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Fires left, caught by Dawson Knox out of midfield on the run. Gets past one man, trying to get past another man. Pulls him down and he is finally knocked out of bounds. Dawson Knox knocking down Bengals along the way.
Howard Simon.
I'm not even watching the game that day. I'm that confident.
Wow.
I'm just going to write my column before 1 o'clock.
Jeremy White.
Think of how good I am at firing GMs. You know? Think of how quickly I would have guys hired and fired in 3 minutes.
Oh, like, my goodness.
What kind of move was that? What kind of trade was that? You're fired.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm just trying to think which Patriots game against Brady was the game that I made that remark. I'm going to write my column before the game begins because I know they're going to win. Meaning the Bills, of course, not New England Patriots. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Thanksgiving is 2 days away, by the way.
Yeah.
We're thawing the turkey.
Am I up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Make sure. Yeah, doesn't seem like Thanksgiving's 2 days away, but indeed it is.
We are thawing the turkey.
Congratulations.
We have the pies.
Yeah. What kind of pies?
Well, some kind of... my wife got them, but I gave her explicit instructions to have the pie that I want, and then you can get whatever else you want for the other three people.
You want chocolate cream.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a French silk pie.
Yeah.
Chocolate satin, whatever the heck they call it. Yeah, it's chocolate, you know, like a pudding.
Good choice.
And the whipped cream on top. Yeah, I'm a standard chocolate cream pie kind of guy, and then she can get, you know, they probably got pumpkin pie, I assume.
I very recently had a grape pie.
Grape?
Yeah.
See, now that I actually would eat because while I don't like grapes per se, I do like grape juice.
Okay. It was perhaps the best pie I've ever had in my life.
Really? Grape, huh?
Grape pie. Yep.
I think there's some leftover apple pie in the break room here. If you want to stop by work, I'll cut you a slice there.
That seems like a really healthy thing to do, is to just, you know, drive to a location, eat a piece of leftover food from...
Well, we're safe here.
Persons unknown.
We're wearing our masks when we walk around. It's safe.
Who made the cake?
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, I think it's store bought. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple. I came in.
It doesn't seem like it's worth a trip then.
There's there's a couple. There was a sign on the table in the break room that says whipped cream is in the refrigerator. And there's a couple of, well, not full, but maybe half eaten pies left out on the table there. So if you know, I'll save you a piece if you want.
You know, one thing I need is a Sabres game generator. We need to come up with one of these, like where we just spin a wheel, and it's 6 a.m. on a Tuesday, you know, in the next couple weeks and months while we're waiting for the NHL to come back, and Brayton would give like an update in the headlines, like, and the Sabres lost to Florida last night, 3-2.
It has to be a loss.
It doesn't have to be a loss.
All right, good.
But just... I need something to think about. You know, I heard that open about firing GMs and stuff. Like, I think Kevin Adams has a little bit of time here. But, hey, Taylor Hall scored his first Saber goal. I'd be like, oh, yeah, it was cool. How about Taylor Hall?
That was a pretty backhand. Yeah, I like that play.
Yeah. I just need some sort of random Sabres game generated on a nightly – whatever, every couple nights. So I have something to kind of, you know, react to. It feels like this time of year – you know, the Sabres are supposed to play tomorrow night. They're supposed to be the world's largest disco tomorrow night.
Oh, is it that, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's Wednesday, right? Yeah. That game is always a big game. The disco is Friday.
It's the weekend.
The disco is Friday.
Yeah.
Amateur night is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
The turkey trot is Thursday. It's usually a pretty good run of three, four straight really awesome nights in town. And, you know, one of the things that I'll be missing. I know they're doing the virtual turkey trot.
Isn't there a limited participation and the virtual? I thought there are a small number of people allowed to actually go and run, or no?
I didn't even follow up because, you know, given the opportunity to do it,
yeah.
I think it's like 100 people.
I thought so. I thought like there were some who can do it and then everything else is virtual.
Yeah.
What is a virtual turkey trot? You run on your own in your neighborhood?
That's a good question.
Because I might actually do the virtual trot if it doesn't mean I actually have to run somewhere.
No, I think you do have to run.
All right.
Somewhere,
well, that would rule me out because I'm not in shape.
Yeah. The details on the virtual race. Okay. So here's how it works. I didn't sign up for the virtual race either because, you know, it's about the event of the community. It's kind of like a Bills game in a way. Like if I could be the only person in the stadium, would I go?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. I would. I'll just sit out.
Right.
So, okay. You apparently don't have to be a runner to participate. You can do it if you want to virtually. And what does that mean? Oh, okay, I should have found this out before you put me on the spot.
Sorry.
Here. That's okay. I
was just curious.
I'm at the FAQ about what the virtual race actually means, and I haven't figured out what it is yet.
Like, if I don't have to run, but I can do the part where maybe you have a beverage after you, quote, finish your race, I mean, that I could do.
Okay, perfect. Here you go. Will I need to show proof of finishing? We're on the honor system.
Ooh, this is the big question for me.
Perfect. Honor system. You can just claim to do it.
Oh, write me down. I'm in. However many K.
There is a costume contest, as there is most years. You can tweet hashtag turkeytrot125.
What could I dress up as?
So, you know, you kind of just say you did it, and then you did it.
I could wear my Robinson Canoshers and have, like, a syringe nearby.
There you go. Performance enhancers.
Right? That's always a good, by the way, that's a good example for the kids for me to set, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess you put on your race packet and you choose the location and time of day that works best for you using this app. You're able to track your progress as if you were running down Delaware Ave, which is the route that you run. So you can run around your neighborhood, your area, and the app will tell you, like, oh, you just passed under the
There's Canisius
the
High School, and there's, the Teddy Roosevelt Historical Site. Okay, I could do that. I mean, well, no, I actually still have to run in my own neighborhood. Can I?
Here comes the big hill from Gates Circle to about North Street, which is a good steady climb.
Run. Nope. Mm-mm. Hills. That sounds like a bad idea, Jeremy.
It's not necessarily hills so much as it's one hill
incline
for about a mile. It feels. I mean, maybe more or less, but it's. Yeah, the trot on Delaware has one pretty steady incline for a good stretch.
Just listening to you talk about this, my legs are burning. Just listening to it. I'm not even moving. I'm like thinking about, well, I mean, I'm woefully out of shape and overweight, and that would be a bad idea to do any kind of running. At this point, walking to the bathroom in the lobby is a chore. But okay, good. I mean, the weather Thursday, I think it's supposed to be okay, upper 40s, so it's not too cold. I guess I don't know what's cold by running standards.
Oh, by turkey trot standards?
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, there have been years where it's 2 degrees outside.
Okay. Well, it's the turkey trot's early in the morning, but I think it's
the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
It's 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, so I don't think the weather's too bad.
This is how the tradition for turkey trot for me is, oh, that's right, that's tomorrow. What time do we have to leave the house? Okay. And then 20 minutes before we leave the house, I start looking for my gear.
Where is everything?
That'll keep me warm. Am I going to need gloves? Yeah, okay. I better start putting together a playlist for my headphones. You know, so usually I don't start planning on the turkey trot until about 30 minutes before it, even though I do run it every year.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing this year. I will not be running it this year.
Thursday hourly weather. So, it stops at 6 a.m., but upper 40s, but rain.
Day.
It could be rain.
Okay, rain's not
60% rain's not, chance of rain at 6 a.m.
Yeah, okay. Rain's not great.
Yeah.
But 40s, I mean, it's been a lot colder.
Close to 50. I mean, approaching 50 by 6 a.m.
Balmy.
A balmy race.
It's where we're getting the balmy's coming out.
You'll be sweating.
Yeah. So anyway, it's too bad that's not going to happen, of course. Next year we'll be back. Of the weather, pleasantly warm. That's what balmy means.
Pleasantly.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, 50 isn't exactly pleasantly warm. 48 rainy isn't pleasantly warm, but we'll take it.
It's better than 35.
True.
I'll take 50. I could still get a few things. Got a few things to finish up outside, get rid of some leaves before the snow hits, pump the pool water down on the pool cover or the water on the pool cover. Yeah, I got a few things to do outside. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if we're around 50, that's actually good.
Yeah.
Well, I think Thanksgiving, though, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to be a bum. So if you're doing the virtual, for those of you that are doing the trot or the virtual turkey trot, good for you. Have a good time on Thursday. Don't know what else is, you know, maybe this is more of a discussion for tomorrow, like what's changing. I'm sure there are people who are not traveling for Thanksgiving this year that normally would. I don't know if there's a big friends and family morning of Thanksgiving football game that isn't played now. I'm not really sure.
Turkey bowls?
Yeah, right? Technically, the mass gatherings aren't supposed to happen. So I'm not sure what Thursday is going to be like for everybody. Tomorrow's usually a big travel day, right? The airport's typically crowded. People get in, you know, the highways are crowded. People are going wherever they need to go for Thanksgiving. And I'm just, you know, who knows what's going to happen come Thursday. Maybe people are doing virtual Thanksgivings with family members.
Yeah. Last night's game. So quick on last night's game on Rams-Bucks. A couple things that came out of it that are, I think, interesting for Bills fans. Number one, the Rams game continues to be the Bills' best win.
Yeah, now they're first in the West after that last night.
It kind of goes back to whatever day it was, we had that caller say the Bills haven't beat anybody good.
Yeah, it was last week, I think.
You know, I said, I think the Rams are really good. And, you know, this caller was trying to make a point. He wasn't so sold on the Bills, which I think is totally fine if you want to be there. But the Rams win is a really good win. The Rams are good. And they just took down the Bucks and Tom Brady, and their defense made Brady look bad. Bulldog tweeted out a stat last night that going into the game, the Rams had given up 9 touchdown passes on the year, and Allen had 4 of them. So, nice matchup there, you know? Like, it's the kind of thing where you might say, well, if they meet in the Super Bowl, you might like the Bills' chances because of the matchup. The Rams are good. Their defense is dangerous. Jalen Ramsey is really good.
Yeah, they locked him on Evans. I didn't see the most of the game, so
he catches a lot of flack for being who he is, but he is really, really good.
Yeah,
right there at the top level of defensive backs in the NFL. And perhaps the biggest thing, I've got two things for you on Brady: his stat line, and then something that Shannon Sharpe said about him after last night's game. So the Rams beat the Bucs, and Will Brinson put up Brady's passing chart where all the passes went. The guy does not throw it farther than 15 yards anymore.
I saw the stat on his 15-plus yards last night. It was awful.
1 for 9?
1 for 9 and 2 picks.
Yeah. He can't throw the ball down the field anymore.
Yeah.
And he certainly is playing in an offense with Bruce Arians that likes to throw it down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, Arians, his entire career, has had a vertical passing game, and Brady can't throw it 15 yards down the field effectively. That's part one. Part two, he ends up with 216 yards. Now, sometimes when we look at a stat line, you know, Josh will throw for 220 in a game, and it's because he attempted 28 passes. Big deal. You didn't need to throw it, right? 48 passes and 216 yards.
Ooh, that's a very low yards per attempt.
That's around Tua. You know, all due respect to Tua, who's still young and still learning, but less than 5 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Holy,
that's crazy.
4 yards per attempt?
Right.
Holy cow.
With that receiving crew.
With that receiving crew, 216 yards on 48 attempts.
And they got a good running game, too. It's not like they're one-dimensional.
Yeah. So, you know, the Brady is washed conversation just got a lot of steam last night after that performance against the Rams.
And yet I'm laughing. I should pull the tweet up. There was a tweet from Albert Breer yesterday about how Patriots fans are complaining about life without Brady. I mean, this is just Brady could be shot and the Patriots fans are miserable. I'm in a good place. You know, that's – yeah, I actually did – it's weird. We talked before the season began. Now that Brady was out of New England, would you root for Tom Brady? And I know you had brought up the idea of, well, look at it this way. If New England stinks and Brady's still good, that'll make it even harder. And I think that's where Patriots fans are, basically. That would make it even more difficult for Patriots fans to deal with because Brady's still good and the Patriots are 4-6. And I was in, and I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't hate Brady. He's not in New England. Fine. I got to be honest with you. I'm thinking about this. You know, now they're 7-4. They've got to play. Oh, they've got another tough game coming up next week. Maybe the Chiefs. They could be 7-5. And I just decided this morning that I do want Brady to miss the playoffs entirely. So I guess I've gone from, hey, man, you don't bother me anymore. You're outside of New England, too. Truly, deep down inside, I am rooting for Brady to lose. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? New England's bad anyway. So the Brady narrative, I don't think it would change anything. The Patriots are bad, and who knows what they're going to be doing for a quarterback, and they're 4-6. They're going to miss the playoffs, and everybody in New England is miserable when they have no right to complain about anything in regards to the Patriots for the rest of their days breathing oxygen on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brady, I mean, there have been games he looks really good, and there have been a lot of games he does not. He's got a lot more volume. He has more touchdowns this year than he did all of last year, right? Let me pull that up. There was a
equaled his picks though too. That's what I was getting to. Didn't mean to jump a false start on me.
That's the point. The numbers. He has 25 touchdowns, which is more than last year,
right?
But he has 9 picks, which is more than last year. So they're throwing it more. He's going to finish this season with what, like 35 to 38 touchdowns, and that might look good. But his pick numbers are going to be up, and his yards aren't quite what they used to be. You know it. For the New England point, it all comes down to the fact that New England is not good. Their record's not good. I think they're actually a decent team. Their record's not good. Yesterday, I was reading about Bill Belichick defending how they didn't run the ball more often.
Right.
You know, so it's a strange year in Patriot land because they don't really know what this is like. But for Brady, man, it's a prime time game for him. This year, just this year, he's done a couple strange things. The one where he doesn't know that it's fourth down.
Fourth down, that's
that
right.
That happened.
Yeah.
Last night, he threw a pass and caught it and threw it again.
Hey, I guess you could do that if you're behind the line of scrimmage, I suppose.
No, you can't do that.
Oh, you can't?
You cannot.
Even
throw
if you're behind the line?
Nope. You throw a pass and catch it yourself, which he did.
You cannot throw it again.
But he did.
Okay, it's not considered. Yeah, I guess it's not. It's not like a lateral back to yourself, and then you throw it. It's a pass.
No, it's two
it's a forward
passes.
Pass, and you can't throw after a forward pass.
And there
correct.
Was a penalty on the play, and the Rams declined it. So it goes as – I mean, I'll have to check the box score. Hmm. It's like a 6-yard completion to Mike Evans. But at one point, Brady was credited with a minus 9-yard. So he's doing some weird things out there, you know.
Yeah.
He's trying to bring in Antonio Brown. You know, Brady's – I think his his record, his status is unassailable. Like, you're not going to knock him from the post of best quarterback of all time for a lot of people, and I'm not here to take anything away from him. But it is a very strange kind of time to see him throwing for 216 and just looking, well, kind of roasted
and their record in prime time is what now they're 1-3 in prime time this year. I think we're working our way to the discussion of guys hanging on too long. And I would tell you that I didn't think or don't think Brady is there yet. I mean, honestly, the game before this, I think they played Carolina. He was really good. You know, he was on target. He was accurate. He was throwing the ball a little better downfield. They put up a ton of points. So there have been times when couldn't tell you last time I watched the full game start to finish, but when I see red zone or whatever, when I see highlights, it seems like he was playing well against Carolina and didn't have a good game last night. I didn't get a sense watching him this year that he looks shot, that we'd be discussing, you know, the discussion you have with the greatest players of all time about, I think they might be hanging on a little too long. Does it affect their legacy? You know, it's the Willie Mays is the poster child for this discussion. I don't think Brady's there yet, based on the stuff I've seen from him this season. I know last night he wasn't that good. I don't think he's there yet. Now, we'll see how the remaining games play out for them. And I also, the interceptions, when you were citing those numbers, it kind of made me think of Jameis Winston a little bit. Granted, Brady's not throwing 30 picks.
No.
Winston threw a boatload of touchdowns in Bruce Arians' offense. The problem was he made some really bad decisions. He threw a whole bunch of interceptions, and a number were pick sixes. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's an Arians thing. Maybe it's the offense. Hey, look, I'll live with more picks. You know, whereas Belichick maybe was, don't turn the ball over. Maybe Arians is like, yeah, man, I'll live with some picks. Get me touchdown passes. That's fine. Take some chances. Throw the ball. We're going to be aggressive. And if you get 35 touchdowns and 15 picks or whatever, 18 picks, I'll live with the picks because we're getting more touchdowns. I don't know. It just seems odd that his numbers, he would go that high up his first season away from New England, but, you know, go way over, or he's going to go way over his interception total from last year. He's already over it, right, you said? And he's still got five games left.
Yeah.
So he's going to be, you know, a decent chunk beyond last year's pick total.
Yes, he will.
I don't think he looks – he has not looked shot. He has looked at times not good. Booch, by the way, is how he looked last year, quite honest. I thought last year he looked shot.
Last year he looked shot.
This
last
year, I don't think he looks as bad as he did last year.
Yeah, last year he had no weapons.
Right,
so
I think that was a big
kinda,
part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you could kind of just pass it off. This year, like, no way.
I haven't thought
no
right.
Excuse.
Well, no, because of what he's got. I mean, my goodness. You know, his best offensive weapon, if you had to rank weapons in the passing game, if you did a depth chart of all the wide receivers and the tight ends, I'll even throw in the running backs because, you know, James White is a big weapon in the New England passing attack. I'd love to, you know, do that. Throw all the names down from New England last year on the left side of the sheet. Throw all the names down from Tampa on the right side of the sheet. Pick the best weapon he had in New England last year. Where would that guy fall on Tampa's roster?
He's the fourth best receiver.
I assume it's
probably.
Edelman, by the way. Edelman would have, and Edelman's fallen behind, you know, Evans and Godwin, and I don't know if Brown's healthy.
Tyler
Brown's
Johnson.
right? I don't know. Is it Brate? Is it Miller? Is it Gronkowski? I mean, it's just.
I mean, Antonio Brown caught 8 for 57 last night.
Yeah.
So, maybe he's fifth,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I think that'll be a really interesting storyline to follow because we were talking about it last year. Is this the end of Brady? And he, you know, again, maybe this is the discussion we're going to have going forward in the month of December about him.
It's just amazing that he pushed for Antonio Brown so hard. He threw 13 times to Antonio Brown last night.
Hmm.
13 targets.
How many targets did Evans? Well, Evans had Ramsey
Evans had
on
nine.
This.
Evans
oh, that's
had
a,
nine.
That's a good amount of targets. Okay.
And Godwin had 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they threw, like you said, they threw, what, 48 times?
48 throws.
Well, thank goodness they threw to Chris Godwin. He won me a couple of leagues.
You got through. All right. That's right. Godwin ended up with 7 for 53 and a touchdown. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. So anyway, there's a text, and I want to get this texter. You didn't sign your text. If you guys sign your text, we'll read them. This texter brings up the next point I wanted to bring up. Texter writes in, I continue to be disgusted by Brady's inability to show some sportsmanship and take a loss with dignity by walking over and giving a nod to the quarterback of the other team. Of course, it didn't happen with Breeze, but it did with Foles twice and Goff last night. I mean, WTF.
Yeah.
Brady does not show his competitors respect. And Shannon Sharp is who brought this to my attention. I didn't see this, but he tweeted this last night. Shannon Sharp, who I think is a very, very good analyst. Like, when Sharp was on the CBS NFL Today show, you get, like, 10 seconds to talk. You're not going to say too many interesting things, right? The halftime show, pregame, those are just kind of wallpaper. I love Shannon Sharp. I think he does an awesome job. He always brings up really good, strong points. And he wrote last night on Twitter, I guess Brady doesn't know Goff well enough to shake his hand after losing. Yet he knows every quarterback after he wins. Brady is full of what the elephant left on the show ground. His attitude is bull jive, and it's time to call his bleep out on it. The guy doesn't shake hands when he loses.
Right.
Especially if he doesn't think the quarterback that he lost to is worthy. Meanwhile, Jared Goff threw for 370-something last night. And here's Brady can't be hassled to shake his hand. Now, I know you don't like
handshakes. I was just going to say, you know how I feel about this. It never, it almost, I could say almost blanket statement would never really upset me.
But the difference is, if you never shake hands, or maybe you don't shake hands after a heartbreaking Super Bowl because you're emotional, it is a Monday in November, bud. And you continue to show your true colors about who you respect and who you don't by picking and choosing. And every time you win, you shake hands.
Yeah.
And when you lose, you pick and choose.
No, see, you got the wrong narrative on Brady. He's being a good company man because yesterday the NFL sent out new protocols before the game and said they are limiting post-game interactions.
Well, sure, sure.
I'm sorry. I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
No, that's worth pointing out.
No, but did nobody else shake hands?
This is his reputation.
Now, I'm going to guess there were some people shaking hands after the game last. I'm just being a jerk with Brady. Look, like I said, I don't care. Look, this was a discussion about John Harbaugh on Sunday. Did you see the whole Tennessee on the midfield logo in Baltimore before the game the other day? And then Harbaugh wouldn't shake Vrabel's hand afterwards. And then people are saying, well, if Harbaugh won the game, I bet he would go over and offer to shake Vrabel's hand. But Harbaugh lost the game, and they were on the logo in the beginning. So he was a jerk because he doesn't handle losing as well as he handles winning, which is entirely possible. I mean, the Harbaugh family can rub people the wrong way, this just in. I just, honestly, I felt that way about Belichick over the years, Jeremy. I think there are times, you know, if he wins, he might come out, shake hands, and have a nice word or two with the opposing coach. If he loses, it's the old drive-by handshake, goodbye, nice to see you. He doesn't take losses well, and Brady doesn't take losses well, and I don't care. I get it. Shannon Sharpe's probably right. You would think if you're either you shake hands or you don't shake hands. Either I'm going to be shaking hands with everybody, win or lose, or I've just decided, hey, man, the game's over, I'm competing. Maybe I'll wave to you from the opposite sideline as I walk towards my locker room. I don't think you should. I'll be a good sport when we win, but I'm not going to come see you when we lose, guy. Pick one or the other.
Right. Pick genuineness shining through or
well,
villain.
That was a bunch of baloney about
that
him
or
anyway.
Villain. You know, pick one. It's always one of the – you know, we've talked about Brady forever. It's why I'm always so conflicted on him because I love villains, and he's a good one.
Yeah.
But he doesn't own it.
Right.
And I just wish he would own – Well, you're the villain, man.
Yeah,
you're the bad guy, you know?
The portrayal of him is just wrong. I mean, it's just the whole – that's why we make so much fun of the genuineness shining through. It's a false narrative about Tom Brady, and nobody would say that about Belichick either. I mean, those guys are who they are, and maybe that's why stuff like last night doesn't bother me at all because, you know, I know who those guys are. You know, they're all, gee, shucks, I'm just part of the team when they win. And when they lose, it's like, don't talk to me. You know, so I.
I mean, the highest level of sport, I get it.
There's a fine line of you being of the competitor, you being an ultimate competitor, and nothing is acceptable beyond winning. Again, this is the debate about sportsmanship. And as I said, I don't really feel as strongly about it as other people, but I get it. It is there's a line of this guy's an ultimate competitor. We see that as a positive, right? This guy never wants to lose. Man, Trey White gave up two plays to AJ Green and he cried in the locker room. I want that guy on my team. He's a competitor. But then when you don't shake hands or something else happens like that, then all of a sudden you cross that line and you become a jerk. So that's why I think, and that's a hard place to be, and I think we can, it's really tough. I don't know how you go from, I want this guy on my team because he hates to lose, to, he's a jerk because he never shakes the hand of a team that just beat him, but it's okay that he hates to lose. I have a hard time balancing those things out. But that's what happens. The narrative changes the minute you go from, I love this guy, he hates to lose, to, well, what a jerk. You know, go shake the guy's hand. Whatever. It's just Brady, and it's not worth losing sleep over. See, this is why you root for them to miss the playoffs this year, and then Brady can retire. And then we don't have Tom Brady in the league anymore. And New England can go into quarterback purgatory for like the next two decades. At least one decade. I'd like them to be without a quarterback for at least one decade in New England.
Chris says it wasn't right after, but they did end up meeting up and shaking hands, but approaching each other. Maybe the elbow bump
or something. Okay.
I don't know. I trust Chris.
Well, I know who. I mean, Brady's personality is, look, right? Brady's personality is not the kind of guy after the game, if he loses, that he's going to want to hang out with you and see, hey, how's your family doing? He's just going to probably walk off the sideline because he's angry and he goes to the locker room. I think he's always been that way. I don't think that's a new thing. So I'm sure Shannon Sharpe is right, Jeremy. I don't know. It doesn't. I think that's who he has been. So it doesn't anger me, and I don't think it. And even if I did look at it and say, you know what, you got to show sportsmanship, it still wouldn't change my opinion of this guy being the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. You know, the post-game handshake wouldn't play into that for me. So is he shot?
Pretty close.
It's pretty cool, huh?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, he's had quite a run.
As long as New England's bad,
well, see, that's,
everything's okay.
And that's the thing. Like, the Breer tweet was so funny about how Patriots fans aren't handling life, you know, without Brady and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, did they not? This is the reverse of a Bills fan who is my son's age, who is 20, whatever he is, 20, what the hell year are we in? 24. Or even you. You know, you didn't get here until, you know, the drought began. This is where the older generation tells the younger generation, you know, there was a time, my son, when the Bills were really good and division titles were the norm and one seeds were the norm. And you'd always leave January open because there were going to be three or whatever weekends of Bills playoff games. And the AFC always came through Buffalo and all this stuff. And not that Bills fans ever got spoiled. And we've certainly suffered enough after that. But it was like, boy, remember, let me tell you about a time when this was really a great place to be for football. Then you get Patriots fans who apparently don't understand that a 20-year run for a dominant quarterback never happens in the National Football League.
Glad you said that. I'm ready to talk about that next. Because
okay.
Another good conversation came up last night during the games and such that I want to bring to you.
803-0550M. Well, also this morning we'll talk about how Mitch Morse has gone from like the anchor of the offensive line to, yeah, he's in the mix for a chance to start on Sunday. I'm baffled by all of that. So that's coming up too. It's Tuesday, and you can always join us too, by the way. We'll give you the phone number out. We always love to hear from you. You want to join in the discussion we're having? Great. You would like to bring up something else and get our opinion? Wonderful. You want to offer turkey cooking tips for Thursday? Great. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550 on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We'll see. He's in the mix. You know, we feel good about a number of the guys up front. We're getting healthier now, finally. It's been a while since we've had a consistent lineup, so we've got some guys and some options available to us, Mitch being one of them.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the status of Mitch Morse. Kind of all over the map on Mitch Morse with how Bills fans and analysts are looking at the news. It's either he's hurt and they're protecting him, or he's not playing well and they might want to get out from a cap situation next year and their potential out.
Yeah. It's puzzling.
Is there a third option?
He's the problem. They're not running well.
It just turned pretty quickly on Mitch Morse.
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, that he might not play when healthy. It very well could be they just decide, yes, he's been cleared. We're going to give it more time. He's had, you know, a history of concussions. That's possible. But in that case, McDermott would want to say it's health related, but then maybe you want to protect the player's health, right? So you don't want to say that. A little weird, for sure. You've got, I think, Bills fans that can't decide he's a bum, cut him, get him off the team because you can save some cap space versus he was a huge signing, right? They paid him the most.
He was the highest paid center at the time he signed. He was given the highest contract for a
signing. Yeah. And it's gone fairly well, I think.
I thought so, too. I mean, in the mix is just, to me, it's stunning. I almost wondered, I almost wish somebody would have followed up and said, listen, is Deion Dawkins or are Deion Dawkins and Darrell Williams starting at tackle on Sunday? And to see if he said yes. Or, well, those guys are, you know, we're always looking for the best five guys each game. They're in the mix. I can't say I'm speechless because when you talk for a living, you really shouldn't be speechless, I guess. But I'm stunned. I wish I knew what was going on with that. I don't know how that guy, one of the biggest signings you've had from outside players, right, not internally re-signing your own, has gone from he's starting, to, yeah, he's in the mix. You know, we'll see. I mean, really? And it just doesn't – you're Morse at center. You'd be telling me, you know, the whole thing about we play our five best guys up front. We want to find the five best guys. So Morse is not one of those five, which means that Feliciano is now a better center than Morse. And then your offensive line without Feliciano at one of the guard spots is still the best five you can come up with. I just don't get that. It seems very strange to me. Headlines real quick. It's 6:40. Tommy Sweeney, Bills tight end, out for the season. Sean McDermott announced that yesterday. He's been diagnosed with myocarditis, which can be a byproduct of COVID. Josh Norman remains on the reserve COVID list. We mentioned Mitch Morse. The Bills also designated rookie wide receiver Isaiah Hodgins to return. That means there's a 21-day window that is now activated, and the Bills have 21 days to decide whether to put Hodgins on the active roster or he would stay on injured reserve and miss the remainder of the season. We'll talk more about that with Sal coming up at 8 o'clock this morning.
So we went to the break. You were talking about what did you say right before
the
break? About?
I can get you the Breer tweet about Patriots fans and quarterbacks for 20 years.
Being great for 20 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of kicked this around a little bit yesterday, maybe with Sal, maybe a little bit more, that what we've seen from the quarterback class of 2018, Mayfield was great right away and then faded. Lamar was dynamic and then great in his second year, right? He won the MVP. He led the league in touchdown passes and has since faded. And in year three, here it's Josh Allen, who's been great for the Bills for the most part.
Yeah.
And there was a guy on Twitter who kind of started a conversation about, like, I wonder if any Bills fan looks at Allen and thinks it could also happen to him, that you have one good year, and then things kind of come back to earth after that, like they did for some of these other guys. And one of the responses was that what Allen's doing seems more sustainable than what Lamar Jackson did last year because, you know, Jackson does a lot with his legs. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not a efficient. He's not a great passer. He's just efficient, which I don't agree with. I mean, he led the league in touchdown passes.
Yeah,
and they only played half games. You know, they were blowing everybody out.
I think you wouldn't be giving Lamar Jackson enough credit for last year if you said it wasn't sustainable because he was running all the time.
I agree with that. And I also think that it's a little bit of an old school mentality that, you know, running quarterbacks can't sustain it, but regular quarterbacks can. Because, I mean, I don't know if Josh is a running quarterback. That's That's probably part of why he's got to the point that he is, right? He was able to survive his first 2 years because he could run and build and get better. And it's not to say that I'm predicting in any way that Allen is going to have 1 year flash in the pan. Just that I do think about that there are quarterbacks that appear to be like, well, look at this guy. He's made. He's good to go. You know, at one point I thought that about Derek Carr. And then Derek Carr went into the tank for 2-3 years. And now he appears to be back.
Right.
So The overall point that Kevin was making on Twitter that I found this to be a good point is what you just said about Albert Breer, that, you know, we have a generation of fans that grew up watching three quarterbacks be amazing pretty much from start to finish in Manning, Brady, and Roethlisberger.
Uh-huh.
And for that matter, Breeze. You know, we watched three, four, five guys who became great and just stayed great. And you kind of forget about the risers and fallers, like the Matthew Stafford 40-touchdown, 5,000-yard season, and now that offense can't do anything.
Yeah.
So it's not a prediction. It's not to say Allen is a flash in the pan. It's just that I do feel a little bit of, okay, a good year is good, a great year is great, but – you know, I'm not expecting 20 years of greatness at this point.
Right.
I'd settle for three, you know, and go from there because it's a fickle game. And whether people catch up with you, if it's as easy as when John Brown's not in the lineup, then they're not any good passing the ball. Like, that's, you know, these are problems. These are hills to continue to climb.
And I think, well, I also think it is the game. It can be so many factors around you, around that quarterback in particular. I still think Deshaun Watson's a hell of a quarterback. I haven't looked at his actual stat line. I know the team is down this year, of course, and I haven't looked to see Jeremy Howe, his numbers this year stack up with DeAndre Hopkins or without DeAndre Hopkins. But things can change. Your team could trade away its franchise elite receiver that you love throwing the ball to 15 times a game. You have no idea what's going to happen to the support crew around you, to the team around you, to the overall franchise. You got an offensive coordinator, you and he are in lockstep. He goes and gets a head coaching job somewhere. Somebody else comes in and the offense isn't as good as it used to be. And, you know, maybe your numbers are somewhat reflective of that. Yeah, that's why the thing about New England, it's like they almost feel like, huh? Well, okay, well, this guy was really good for 20 years. All right, go find the next guy to be dominant and own the division for 20 years and go to 8 Super Bowls or 9 Super Bowls, whatever the heck they went to. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, I saw your tweet about Allen, too. And, with this discussion, I'm delighted where Josh Allen is in year 3. Like, if you're going to ask me, if someone actually called up and said, hey, guys, so what do you think? Franchise QB? Yeah, I don't know. He's really good right now. I'm very happy with everything I've seen. He got better from year 1 to year 2, and he got a lot better from year 2 to year 3, and I'm delighted with almost everything across the board I've seen from Josh Allen. That doesn't mean I'm saying, you know, hey, Kelly's here. Sit back, everybody. We're good to go for the next, 88 to 9? We're good to go for the next 10 seasons. Mark down a playoff berth every year. It's going to be mostly division titles, and we're contending for the Super Bowl. I don't know. Hope so. But it just, you never know. Things can, what if Brian Daboll gets a head coaching job this offseason and somehow it has a negative impact on the offense? I don't think it would. I think Josh is really good. I really do. But you have no idea what's going to happen. So I don't know what's happening with him. But yeah, 2 years ago, I was jealous of Browns fans. I really was, right?
Yeah, because Baker looked so good.
He looked great. And I remember sitting with you at Bill's training camp, and anytime Cleveland came up, I kept saying how they're must-watch TV, and imagine being a Browns fan. You know, you've been down for so long, been a lot of miserable football. Look, they've got their guy. Every time a team, quote, got their guy, I always was envious of that team because of the drought here, you know, and life after Kelly. I felt that way about Cleveland. Last year, wow, man, the Ravens. And the Ravens, they didn't even go through a long drought. They won 2 Super Bowls this century. And look, they got their guy. All right, now they're down this year. So you never know what's going to happen. I think Josh is the guy, but I can't tell you in all certainty that next season he'll just come back and he'll be even better or he'll be as good, if not better, than this year. I don't know. I'm just very happy with what I've seen. He has steadily become a better quarterback over time. That's a good indication.
That is. And there's some, some guys do that and then fall back.
That's right.
Down.
You got to stay. You got to be Mahomes. Like, Mahomes is just, he's still great.
Yeah, I mean, sports is littered with guys that take a shot at the top and then don't stay there. That's why we talk about Brady 20 years later is because he stayed there forever, you know?
Yeah.
I think about for comparisons like this, when Tiger Woods was at the peak of his career, Tiger was the best golfer for X number of years. And there'd be a couple different world number twos. And remember how many the next Tigers there were, whether it was – not that they were all the next Tiger, but David Duvall was his number one competitor for some time.
Jordan
and then he
Spieth.
Couldn't make a cut.
Jordan Spieth was the next Tiger.
Jordan Spieth. Ernie Els was his number two. Phil Mickelson was his number two. You know, it is very, very tough to stay at the top. So, you know, hopefully the Bills are still on their way there. And, you know, with the weapons they have and with how Allen's worked and how the continuity on the offense and the coordinator, like, everything's good.
Yeah.
Everything's good. Hopefully it just, you know, hopefully it stays that way. Hopefully it continues to improve. Like, these next six games, I think we're going to be looking for a lot out of this offense against teams that, you know, this week it's the Chargers. I'm right where I was when they played the Chiefs almost, or right when they played the Cardinals, when they played the Seahawks. That team over there can score, so go get 35. Because that might be what it takes against that Chargers team and Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I think this absolutely can be a high scoring game. This is not a their passing offense, their running game not so much, but their passing offense has been very good this year. So I think you are looking at another game. Excuse me, where you're going to have to put up a whole bunch of points, where the offense is going to have to do its job, because you might just have to outscore the Chargers on Sunday afternoon at the stadium. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I have an instant trivia question here, kids. Should be pretty easy. I would expect the two of you will not even break a sweat. Not that you ever would break a sweat doing an instant trivia question. Yesterday, I think it was, today's Tuesday, so it'd have to be yesterday. We were talking about the Bills and the Chargers, and Jeremy, you were bringing up some of the, you and Sal were discussing some of the games in series history. Did you gentlemen know that the Bills have actually lost the last four meetings to the Chargers? 2018, Allen's first start. 2017, the Peterman game. 2014, EJ. 2011, Fitz throws a pick six. They got blown out. The last time they beat the Chargers, San Diego Chargers, would have been 2008, which I think we brought up briefly yesterday, the power outage game. So I'm looking for basically the offensive skill guys. Quarterback, two running backs got to carry. Three wide receivers had a catch, two tight ends had a catch, and the kicker.
This is the Trent game?
This is the, yes, the Trent Edwards power outage game. Well, you named the quarterback, by the way, Trent, that day.
All right.
25 out of 30 for 261 and a touchdown.
Kavika Mitchell had the big play that sealed the game. Receivers, Lee Evans is on that team for sure.
Lee Evans is one, very good.
He was the one that scored the touchdown, I think, right? Lee Evans did?
Don't ask me these things. Two other guys had...
Not only did he catch a touchdown, I think he caught it against his helmet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He pinned it in the corner with a great catch.
Yeah.
I will look that up. Two other wide receivers had at least a catch in that game.
Okay. Lee Evans would have played in 2008 with...
Roscoe Parrish.
That is one of the two receivers. Very good. Rivers, Trent Edwards passed to Lee Evans for a 2-yard touchdown in the second quarter. That must be okay. That would have been.
You looking at the highlight?
No, I'm just looking at the play-by-play first, just to see it.
Oh, if you find it, I think he's got great feet on the play and caught it against his helmet in the back corner of the end zone, maybe. Yeah, I mean, like. What did I have for dinner last night? I don't know, but I got that.
Why do you? I know, right? Lee Evans, one-handed catch. I don't know if that's it. I'm going to keep
one-handed. Sounds like he pinned it against his helmet.
Yeah, I guess it would be, right? I'll look at it while you guys are coming up with the other receiver.
The other receiver.
Well, it's a little blurry, but oh yeah, nice.
David Nelson
reaches out the right hand, gets it, brings it back against the helmet, pins it, keeps the feet in. That's a pretty catch.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. The other receiver is. Well, let's see. He had over 300 passes and 3,500 yards in his Bills receiving career. Played from 2002 to 2009.
Josh Reed.
Very good.
Yeah.
Was a second-round draft pick.
Tight ends, this will be fun.
Two tight ends had at least a catch in that game.
Not the guy before Scott Chandler. The Scott Chandler before Scott Chandler.
Sean Nelson.
No.
No. I think his name came up yesterday. Maybe one or maybe both these guys. I think one of them for sure was mentioned yesterday when we were throwing names out from previous games.
Not Robert Royal.
Yes, Robert Royal is one of the
Royal.
Two.
Okay.
He played here from 06 to 08, so that was his third and final season.
One of the tricks
season.
Of instant trivia there, guys. You just say not this guy. And if it's wrong, you weren't guessing.
Yeah.
And then if it's right,
you're like, oh, okay, well, I was on the right track.
Yeah, I thought it was him. Yeah.
Who's one the other tight end then?
A draft pick.
Kenny Lewis.
No, but Tim Ewis was a draft pick. A draft pick in 2007 in the seventh round.
Derek Fine.
Close.
Derek Schumann.
Very good. Mm. Out of Boise State. The pride of Boise State.
The Broncos.
Broncos, thank you. And the kicker?
Ryan Lindell.
Ryan Lindell.
We didn't even get the running backs.
Oh, I forgot the running backs. Two running backs. Those are easy. Knock them off.
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn.
And?
Willis.
Nope.
Fred.
Okay. There you go.
Always guess Fred.
Always. Yep, that's true. I think it's a pretty solid trivia very, very advice. True. Always guess Fred. There you go.
Always guess a McCown and always guess Fred.
That would be it. What do you want? You want headlines or are you going to do your own job, actually? No? All right, fine. Here are your headlines. From Sean McDermott yesterday, some Bills news. Tight end Tommy Sweeney is out for the season. Coach McDermott mentioned yesterday that Sweeney has been diagnosed with myocarditis. Now, that... He didn't necessarily say we know it came from the COVID, but myocarditis, it's possible you could get that as a result of COVID. So either way, Sweeney is out for the season. Sean McDermott said he saw Tommy Sweeney yesterday, I think, and he said he was in good spirits. Josh Norman is still on the reserve COVID list. By the way, the Bills will practice today. Normally they're off on Tuesdays, but they will practice today. And we still don't know if Mitch Morris will start Sunday. McDermott was asked about that and said he is, quote, in the mix. Rookie wide receiver Isaiah Hodgins has been designated to return. What does this mean? There's a 21-day window that is now open. He can practice, and by the end of that window, the Bills have to decide whether to activate him or they leave him on IR, which means he would miss the rest of the season. Chargers outside linebacker Uchenna Nwosu, or something close to that pronunciation, has a shoulder injury, reportedly will miss this game. He is one of their better pass rushers. He has 3.5 sacks. Rams beat Tampa last night, 27-24. The Rams are now first in the West. They're tied with Seattle at 7-3, but the Rams have the tie-breaking edge. Tampa drops to 7-4. The NFL released new COVID protocols, which will include masks being required for players on the sideline unless you have your helmet and you are about to go on the field to enter play. The news on Joe Burrow is not good. A torn ACL and a torn MCL among the damage he suffered the other day. The Ravens shut down their practice facility yesterday. Multiple positive tests, including Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. So the running back room is having issues, and they play Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. College hoops. The season is supposed to begin this week, and it will for a number of schools. However, COVID is now forcing cancellation and postponements. UB basketball's doubleheader against Gannon tomorrow night canceled. Gannon has COVID issues. Other openers postponed or canceled this week: Duke, Tennessee, Florida, Arizona, Oregon, and Baylor. And I'm just scratching the surface. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us here on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.